Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Great to have Dino and Brendan join me to look back on racing at Flemington and at Rose Hill primarily yesterday, with the Ori Star, the feature at Flemington, and the Missile Stakes, the feature at Rose Hill. And good morning to you, Dean Lester.
Yeah, good morning, Warren.
Competitive days racing, well documented, we didn't have big fields, which has been a bit of the theme of this meeting in recent times, but at competitive days racing, what was your overall feeling of the meeting?
Yeah, I think the track played pretty well, even though it was soft ground. I don't think many horses would have been that disadvantaged by the actual conditions, so... Yeah, not big fields. I think the Ori Star was a good contest, and we might have seen a couple of horses to follow through the spring. And I enjoyed the meeting, and of course Sydney as well, with Eduardo continuing on his winning way.
Brendan Delaney, I think fortunate, as Dean referenced, that we're in that soft range at a soft seven, but probably not getting that significant rain during the day helped the track play as fairly as it could.
Yeah, sort of evens it out a little bit once they start getting into the ground, and then the rain gets into where the horses have been. That's when it starts to become a little bit dicey, but all in all, no rain really throughout the meeting yesterday. So the track played well enough, and Ollie put on a bit of a vintage masterclass for us.
The feature race at Flemington was the Ori Star. It was race six down the straight course of 1,200 metres.
Front of the course proper at the 500. Yalong January great again, with Home of the Brave still there, the outside. Next in the field, Hightail, Sosi Bon, and behind them, Gamekeeper, Trope and Widgie Turf. It's in the middle, great again, and Yalong January below the 300. Then Home of the Brave, and back behind them, Hightail, Sosi Bon, and Gamekeeper. Great again, has a fight on its hands again at the 100 from Yalong January. Home of the Brave is left. Great again, Home of the Brave. Home of the Brave with Ollie for his fifth win in the Ori Star. Beat Great Again and Gamekeeper, then Sosi.
Well, they'd met Dino in the straight six, Great Again and Home of the Brave, not that long ago. And Home of the Brave turning the tables on Great Again yesterday. How did this race shape up?
Yeah, it was a pretty pedestrian tempo, Warren. That was the first part of the race, but it built, and Home of the Brave and Great Again were there. And in a pretty commanding spot to dominate the race, given the tempo, and much like they did in the straight six a couple of months ago. They fought out the finish, and Home of the Brave with Ollie absolutely roaring at him over the final stages. You could hear it through the effects bikes very strongly, getting him home to beat Great Again. Couldn't help but be impressed with the run of Gamekeeper. I just love that big loping stride he gets. And to do that at 1,200, even off a gentle tempo, that was a really good kickoff point for his preparation.
From a perspective of Gamekeeper, obviously kicking off at the 1,200 metres yesterday, there might be some lofty goals ahead for him. What type of level do you think he could get to?
Oh, I've heard them talk about a race like the Caulfield Cup. I think probably if he gets to the naturalism and gets a chance to have a go at qualifying, he'd be an interesting horse, because he's, Tony McAvoy's always had an opinion of him. He ran him in a Blue Diamond. He sort of really came of age last preparation through the Adelaide Guineas, and then that win with the big weight at Flemington. And to do that first up was, I think, really encouraging, just showing that he's got plenty of speed in his legs and he's ready to go.
How do you see this race, Brendan?
If you're taking one away from the meeting, Gamekeeper's the one. Looking towards the spring, he was really good. Pace wasn't there to suit him. He was able to really get through the line and run past some horses that can finish off Sosi Bon, Widgie Turf. Billy Egan reported Widgie Turf's going to come out of that much better. But if you were backing when they were side by side, who's going to outsprint who, you probably would have had Widgie Turf getting past Gamekeeper. He was really good. Home of the Brave, great again. 0.4 between them in the straight six. They meet again here. Great Again can turn the tables, but they're two very similar horses. Sosi Bon, he was okay. Yalong January just tied out that last little bit, and not sure what to make of Trope. Not sure he's really got his mind on racing anymore.
Yeah, Stewart's report just with respect to Trope. Check shortly after the start when tightened for room between Yalong January and Home of the Brave, which was bumped by Great Again, perhaps even adding some merit to the performance, the winning performance of Home of the Brave. Jai McNeil stated that although his mount was hampered at the start, he had no explanation for the horse's disappointing performance. Nothing from a veterinary examination from Widgie Turfida, Dino, who probably wasn't necessarily suited by the building nature of the tempo. And I thought he was going to have a terrific chance the way he was coming to hand. It's probably jury's out, maybe another run or so with Widgie Turf. What did you make of his run?
Yeah, first straight track run too, Warren, so don't know if that's absolutely his go. He seems to often really spring off a bend and ping home, but and with Trope, look, he trialled okay on soft ground, but, I mean, he may not have any interest in racing, but wait till he gets onto a dry track to, ascertain how he's going, because, I've seen so many horses trial well on wet ground, but trials are so much different, and he just didn't go a yard yesterday.
And obviously with the COVID restrictions and moving around, Matty Stewart might well be housebound at the moment, Dino, but absolutely declaring home in the Brave with Michael Falgate and Dan Malecki yesterday morning. And at the juicy odds of $5, Matty may even got better. You'd think that we may not see Matty for a few days, although the COVID restrictions are probably going to curtail his activity somewhat.
Well, they probably have, but to some degree, but at least he's cashed up to do whatever he wants.
He can pay the fine now.
Well, that's true.
Sosie Bond, how do we mark him first up? Start with you, Brendan.
I thought it was an okay run. He was under pressure when the tempo started to build when they came onto the course proper, but I thought he was doing enough in a race where not a lot changed. He was still there holding his spot at the end.
And what did you make of the performance of Sosie Bond, Dino?
Yeah, I thought he ran well, Warren. I thought going into the race he was probably going better than last year. But in saying that, last year he won this race with 55.5. So it was a different sort of scenario. And to have to pick up and sprint when he got through the pack was going to be a bit more of a challenge with the weight. I thought he did enough. They've taken all the gear off him to start the preparation. I think as they fine-tune him, probably the blinkers will go back on and, he'd probably have another go at the Rupert Clark and the Turak and those sort of races again. And he's fallen short in the past, and that's probably where he lands around the placings. But, it was a good kick-off point.
The day kicked off with a staying race over 2,530 metres. Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace had a strong hand with last start winner Exemplar and short price favourite South Pacific.
For 350 metres. It's Exemplar Quicken from South Pacific, who couldn't quite quicken at that stage. Burt Whistle, WT runs on, then home by midnight. As they reach the clock tower, 200 to go, it's Exemplar full bore, a length and a half, WT, then Burt Whistle, South Pacific. It's Exemplar, a length and a quarter, WT, then Burt Whistle, flag edition, but Exemplar has dictated and will win. Exemplar first from WT, photo third, Burt Whistle from flag edition, then...
Well, it was seen as a bit of a surprise victory two starts ago, Brendan, when Exemplar was able to get the better of the well-supported stablemate in South Pacific, but yesterday proving it was far from a fluke.
Maybe he's just one of those horses that had a crack at the hurdles and said, I'm not up for this, and I'll stick to going around on the flat. His last two have been very good. A race run over a staying trip that was really anything but a staying race. It was they were going that slow that the clock on racing.com didn't trigger. He just crawled Exemplar, had it all his own way. Ollie was there to put the pressure on South Pacific if he wanted to. He was under the pump on the turn, watching the coverage yesterday. Dave Eustace wasn't all that happy with his action and coming to the turn, and maybe nothing showed up in the immediate bit report, but maybe something to come out of it in the next day or so. But he was disappointing with that soft run outside Exemplar, and he was able just to crawl and dash. WT did a good job from the back of the field. The speed was against him. He raced a little keenly through the early part. I thought he finished on well. Burt Whistle held its spot after having a nice run close to the speed, but Exemplar was just able to control it. Johnny Allen grabbed the hold of the race. They let him do what he wanted to do, and he was able to outdash them. South Pacific had his chance here on the outside, but maybe not all was right with him yesterday there, because he was pretty disappointing.
Yeah, I said it was over the staying trip, but visually it looked like it was far from a staying test. How did you see the first?
Yeah, well, Warren, thanks to looking at the racing.com figures there, that the first section, and it's often good to sort of look at it this way in kilometres per hour, they went 46 kilometres an hour, the leader. Well, 45's even time. So some of these horses were going slower than evens for the first 1,700 or so of the race, and then they obviously quickened up, so it was more of an 800-metre dash. Example is going well. There's a bit of irony there that he was bought to be a jumper and he might end up a Country Cups horse, and South Pacific was bought to be a Cups horse and might end up a jumper the way he's going. So I think I'd rather be on the exemplar part of the deal at the moment. WT ran well. He's a horse that, even though, as I said, I don't think this track played too badly yesterday, and he was a bit of a litmus test for it, that he ran well. He is better on drier ground than Burt Whistle Flag Edition, not much between them. Blandford Lad, the ground suited him, but he was back, and even with the lightweight, he was going to find it hard to sprint quicker than he did. He ran home well, but he was back in a slowly run race.
Interesting vision at the start with South Pacific effectively lunging and being slightly disadvantaged at the start, but appeared to recover very quickly. Dave Eustace asked the stewards to have a look at the footage to see if he had been denied a fair start. Dino, firstly, your take on that incident at the start, if it had any impact on South Pacific at all?
Nah, not really, because he got his position pretty quickly and pretty economically because of the early speed, and he was just trying to anticipate the start, got it a bit wrong, and then missed it, but he quickly made up for lost ground.
And Damien Oliver certainly offering no explanation. He couldn't identify anything for the poor performance of South Pacific. Nothing from a veteran examination post-race. So what do we do with South Pacific, Brendan?
Wait and see if anything comes out of the stable to see if there's anything wrong with him that shows up maybe this morning, maybe tomorrow. But if nothing shows up, he's back to the pack considerably.
Ollie was on the well-supported favourite, who was disappointing in the first. He lined up with Godolphin aboard Fatigues in race two.
In driving rain at the 450. Big day out, yes baby, yes. Galactic Fury uses that run up on the inside. Fatigues down the middle from Shamzu and the Prez. They've got to Big Day Out. Yes baby, yes, and Galactic Fury go together at the 250. It's Galactic Fury just in front of Fatigues. Yes baby, yes, Big Day Out, then the Prez. Galactic Fury with 100 metres to go. Fatigues is coming and the Prez. Galactic Fury just in front. Fatigues driving. Fatigues takes the lead. And Fatigues beat Galactic Fury, the Prez. Yes, baby, yes.
Well, you summed this race up beautifully yesterday, Dino. You thought Galactic Fury certainly a great winning chance, but through that form line, Fatigues was the obvious and main danger, and frame your staking in the race around the two, and they fought the race out. What were your thoughts as the race was unfolding?
Yeah, I thought they were probably in the right spots. I thought coming to the turn, Jai McNeil had set himself up for a couple of options to come out or go in. And so he had his options open, and ultimately the inside opened up just a bit quicker. So he took that option. But you could always see Fatigues getting back and winding up. And Damien just took his medicine in the small field at the start and then just let him wind up from a fair way out. And that's all he needed. Last start, he was sort of a little bit in no man's land at Caulfield, and it was a more definite ride yesterday, and he was able to win. The Prez ran okay for third. Quickened up quite early here, and it was a bit of a slog late. But Fatigue's getting the money, and I think James Cummings summed him up well at the back end of the spring for the lesser 3-year-old races. There might be something for him, but that's about where he lies, I think.
How'd you see this race, Brendan?
I think Galactic Fury probably played into the winner's hands a little bit, just making Yes Baby Yes Big Day Out just roll maybe a little quicker than they would have liked, just allowed the pace there for Fatigues to come off the back of. Galactic Fury had his chance back to the inside, but with clear air, Fatigues was able to wind up nicely. I thought the Prayers was good, and Yes Baby Yes just covering that little bit of extra ground through the early part of the race took its toll there, but winner was good. Ollie came with a well-timed ride. Galactic Fury had the run this time and just couldn't hold off the winner.
Not a lot from the stewards report. Yes Baby Yes, race three wide without cover in the early to middle stages, perform below market expectations, and Johnny Allen offering no explanation other than having to travel wide and cover until the 700 metre mark for Yes Baby Yes, who was coming off that maiden victory at Seymour going into yesterday. Cafe Rizou and all of the gallopers in this race were out to 1,800 metres in the third race on the card. Damien Oliver shooting for an early double aboard Cafe Rizou, this time for Mick Price and Mick Kent Jr.
at the 500 metres. Frankie, Two Angels, King about to go for the whip. Cafe Rizzo the outside. Oliver hasn't moved. Ruben needs an out. Royal Filly down the outer from Dubai Moon at the 350. They sprint up. Cafe Rizzo up to Flinders River. Ruben back to the inside, and Royal Filly runs on from Frankie, Two Angels. Cafe Rizzo from Flinders River, and on the inside, Ruben. And then came behind them Dubai Moon. It's Cafe Rizzo and Ruben. Cafe Rizzo and Ruben. A terrific battle. It's a real gritter battle. It is Cafe Rizzo just in front and just beat Ruba. Third, a photo, Flinders River or Dubai Moon.
And just see this race, Brendan Ollie lifting Cafe Rizzo over the line.
Sounded like a bit of a tennis match between Mott and Oliver at the back end. If you're tuning into the racing.com coverage with the sound up, both using their lungs as well as everything else to get their mounts over the line. But Cafe Rizzo had the nice run off a slow tempo. Flinders River didn't go overly fast. Ollie was just able to pop out and try and build his momentum from the top of the straight. When Jamie Mott got the run on Ruba, he didn't have the luxury of Ollie of being able to build his momentum and had to just pull the trigger from the start and go full ball from there. Ruba just unable to hold off Cafe Rizzo, but it was just a typical Ollie ride, dragging that last little bit out of them in the last 50 metres or so. Flinders River had his chance, like the run of Dubai Moon. Speed was against, work through the line was pretty good. Frankie Two Angels sat up there outside of the slow tempo and was disappointing. But Ollie working his magic on Cafe Rizzo. Ruba runs well and really liked the effort of Dubai Moon.
A return for the formula bet, Dino, and your best bet of the day in Cafe Rizzo at a good price, SP at $3.90. Take us through your thoughts on the race.
Yeah, look, I just thought she had the right preparation for the race, Warren. 1,300, 1,500. And the other thing she'd shown in both runs is propensity to just relax and just, you know, go at whatever speed the riders have wanted her to. And that's what you have to do in these 1,800-metre races for the early season three-year-olds, where it's if you looked at the Frankie Two Angels race out of Sandown, you could probably gather that Ruba was a good chance of turning the tables because it was always going to relax, whereas Frankie Two Angels was very keen. And that's why I just thought Cafe Rizzo might have the advantage, just like mentally being able to switch off and then getting Ollie. And when you see he hasn't gone for the whip at the 200, you know that he's going to have that little bit up his sleeve, and he needed it because Jamie Mott was getting everything out of Ruba and ran very well. But look, I like Cafe Rizzo. I don't know if she's quite an Oaks filly, but I like that she's got a really good demeanour about her race style, that she can just switch off and then there's a bit of sprint about her.
And Mick Kent Jr. saying as much, and feedback from Ollie was maybe give her a little bit of a break and aim towards some of those filly staying races. Not necessarily a winner of the Oaks, but you know, lead up races and Philly's races out to 2,000 metres or so, she could be very competitive in some of those, Dino. And if Ollie's giving you the feedback that she's got the attributes for that type of race, then that's a positive.
Yeah, exactly right. And, she's had the good grounding, so when she gets to it, if she got to a race like the Oaks Trial at Flemington or the Ethereal, you know that she's already had the miles and the legs and you're not guessing on whether she'll run a trip or not.
Stewards are going to follow up with Royal Filly in terms of how she pulls up. Jai McNeil reported that she may have come to the end of the preparation. She commenced to give ground from the 200-metre mark. Flinders River, Dino, out to the 1,800 metres. What do we make of him tested at that trip?
Yeah, I thought he ran okay. He was the multiple winner in the race, and he hasn't been beaten far ultimately. But, I think probably back end of his distance range at this stage anyway.
Frankie Two Angels raced keenly in the early stages out to that trip and perhaps just, again, still learning her craft, didn't settle that well at a previous race at Sandown and just getting out to that trip, probably a learning experience for Frankie Two Angels, or him out to that trip, Frankie Two Angels, over racing. Tabby Dance was disappointing as a short price favourite in his previous run at Caulfield. Could he bounce back at Flemington yesterday?
Around the turn, 450 metres to go. Reserve Street yet to be called upon. He excels. Tabby Dance now presents a gap. Savvy Oak, Naivasha, Five Kingdom and winning partner down the outside. Tabby Dance claims Reserve Street. 300 metres to go and races clear the favourite. Naivasha, Five Kingdom, Try Hard with winning partner Savvy Oak. But Tabby Dance is off and gone. 100 metres to go. Four, five lengths in front. And the favourite is going to win easily. Tabby Dance trotted in, won it by six. Second, Dead Heat, winning partner, or Naivasha, then Five Kingdom.
Yeah, competitive race behind Tavi D'Agostino, but he was in a world of his own yesterday.
He was, Warren, and once the race broke up, my little doubt, my little worry with him was barrier one, whether he'd get cluttered up. But as soon as the race strung out, Jamie Carr was able to give him a sweet ride. And I think Jamie's one of our most consistent riders, and I just think she got it a bit wrong a couple of weeks ago on Tavi Dance, trying to race with the second favourite that day. And yesterday, just in clear air, very happy horse on the big track at Flemington, and showed that he's a lot better than this grade, as Matt Hill said, that was a very competitive race behind. But that's where winning partner Novatia, Five Kingdoms, Savvy Oaks sit in their career, where Tavi Dance is starting to really advance. And yeah, given the beautiful ride yesterday, and won accordingly.
Seem to relax well. What could be, do you think, realistic objectives for Tavi Dance?
Oh, there's really good money in those round-the-edge races at 2,000 metres. Is he, you know, with on pace, is he a good Cranbourne Cup horse or something like that? Or maybe, you know, they might aim higher, like a Naturalism or something like that. But I think there's certainly money to be made with him during the spring. And at the moment, he's just building his rating and earning good dollars.
What do you think on this race, Brendan?
It was pretty sweet watch if you're on Tavi Dance. Rolling along Reserve Street, he excels, kept him up to his work from the 800, all the while Jamie Carr was just tucked in behind there and just waiting to make the decision when to go. Horses back in the field, Nivasia, Five Kingdoms, winning partner were all a long way off, and they did their chase in getting to the turn to get up within a couple of lengths of Tavi Dance. But when Jamie said it was time to go, she was just sitting there idling along, waiting to push the button, and she left them standing. Winning partner was good from a long way back, but the tempo was there to run well. Five Kingdoms okay with Nivasia was a nice enough return, but as Dean said, Tavi Dancer, he's on a little bit more of an upward trajectory compared to those that were chasing him.
Yeah, I suppose Nivasia being first up, arguably more improvement in her than others in that bunch behind Tavi Dance. But yeah, I tend to agree with the boys that Tavi Dance destined to go on to much better races than the Benchmark 84 yesterday. Rating will obviously go up with that win, but there's still a few races to pick up on the way through before the handicapper gets hold of Tavi Dance, who may well be progress on to something like Country Cup level, at least Saturday grade and open handicaps. Dominant performance yesterday, beautifully handled by Jamie Carr. Coming around, probably didn't get the conditions to suit in the track pattern at Swan Hill, having his first run for Brent Stanley. Liam Redden tucked him into a beautiful spot yesterday.
Still the Burnham as they run past the 300 metres leading, coming around, getting into the clear from Reflectivity Man from Uncle, then Red Alto Irish Flame. It's La Burnham at the 200, but coming around has got the sit on it and now moves up boldly. Coming around takes La Burnham and draws away. Favourites home, then it's a real scrap for third, but bolting in, coming around two lengths, La Burnham, Irish Flame third.
Well, it seemed pretty straightforward, tucking in behind the leader, Brendan, and again getting the split when he needed it. How did you see this race?
Comfortable watch again for those that were on the favourite, sat in behind the speed. Liam Reardon shouldered Reflectivity out of the way, who probably wasn't dropping off as quick as he would have liked. Laburnum led, gave a good kick, but Liam was able to just sit him behind and build his momentum, had 2 kilos up his sleeve, got to La Burnham at the 100 and put him away. It was quite a soft win. Irish Flame did a good job, put into the race on the turn. They just sprinted away from him at the top of the straight, but I thought grounded out okay. But race dominated by leaders back, and coming around was the one that just had the nice drop in behind.
Be very thoughtful about what Dino thinks about this race. We'll just wonder if we could get Dean's take on this race, Dino. Obviously, coming around well supported and maybe just didn't get the pattern to suit, but chasing a nice horse at Swan Hill in the Cup. What was your assessment of his performance yesterday?
Yeah, it was a pretty easy watch yesterday, Warren. He got a pretty straightforward run just behind the speed, and La Burnham was beautifully rated in front by Johnny Allen. Just went at a speed that they left him alone, gave her the chance to run 14. I think it's the back end of her distance range, but she ran quite well. But coming around was able to quicken up nicely off La Burnham, thanks to daily sectional times, led about 6.5 lengths below standard, and then just built from there and coming around, got the run through and won. Irish Flame, I thought, had a little chance at odds, got into the placings and ran okay, got the conditions to suit. and then the rest, I think we pretty much know where they're at in their careers. Lucky for all, pulled up with another issue, so he's probably in a bit of trouble again. But, yeah, all honours to the winner.
Yeah, Lucky for all noted as being lame in the off-four league in the stewards' report. Reflectivity was up there and had to be effectively just asked to get out of the way for Liam Reardon to dash away and win the race impressively. Do we think Reflectivity, Dino, cut a little bit of slack for the soft ground and perhaps with racing under the belt could improve if we strike firmer ground in the weeks ahead?
Oh, for sure. My form guide says he's hopeless on wet ground, so I was surprised he was there yesterday. When he gets onto a dry track, take no notice that he's got 9.6 next to his name. He could improve very sharply at his next run.
Rivet Delight's now had two runs for Lindsay Smith. How did you mark him yesterday?
Oh, I thought he was fairly plain. He got back and mid-race, he did as much work as any horse in the race, but then just sort of grounded out, whether he's looking for further, where he can get up on the speed, but that long winning drought might continue for a bit longer yet, I think.
Outside the winner, Brendan, who looks the obvious to perhaps go on to some better races, anything in respect to either up in distance or track condition that you'd like to note?
Activity, he'll improve on drier ground. He's two runs this time in on wet ground. He hasn't fired, and we know when it gets drier, we'll see the best of him. But Rivet Delight, little disappointing, fantastic. Little, he was okay fresh, but they're not running past Red Alto when he's second up from a break. And the horse that was up on the speed beat him home as well. So they were okay efforts, but hard to take anything probably bar the first two and maybe Reflectivity onto drier ground.
Good day at the office for Liam Reardon and coming around a horse that might take him on to some better races as the spring unfolds for Brent Stanley, coming over from Western Australia and running well at Swan Hill, then winning in dominant fashion yesterday, running away from Laburnum and the rest. Race 7 on the card yesterday was over 2,000 metres. Skyman had a win over Tavi Dance in his first Australian run for the Chris Wallace stable.
Into the straight at the 450. It's Cadre Du Noir moving up to Lord Geranti. Dogmatic back to the inside, then Master Shahood. Skyman is moving into it nicely from Stealthy Lucas, and De Niro's trying to wind up. Cadre Du Noir takes the lead with Dogmatic. Here's Skyman, the outside, and Crimson Ace back to the fence. Skyman at the 150 takes Dogmatic, Cadre Du Noir, and Crimson Ace. Skyman just in front of Cadre Du Noir, who's trying to fight back. Skyman's clinging on. Skyman won again. Beat Cadre Du Noir, Crimson Ace.
How'd you see this race, Dino?
Skyman is progressing very well. It was a good win yesterday. He was settled a long way back off a very, very slow speed and had a horse in front of him in Miracu racing really awkwardly. So at some stage had to get around that horse and then set sail for home. And I thought it was a pretty good win, really. Cadre Du Noir ran well. Crimson Ace back to the inside was sound. The one that's ticking over absolutely beautifully in this race is Kentucky Tornado. I think she might win a half-handy staying race, whether it's just for mares or just over a bit of ground this time in. I know this was only a benchmark race, but I thought the improvement she made at the end of last preparation, she's now put two runs in, suggesting that she's coming along very well to get out over the longer trips, and she's the one I want to follow certainly out of this race.
You referenced that it was a slowly run race, and with Miracu effectively coming back on Skyman a couple of times, I thought Damien Thornton was proactive at about the 600-700 metre mark. It looked like Skyman made some good ground there, perhaps when the tempo was relatively slow. Do the sectional times just show him quickening into the race somewhere around about the 600 metre mark?
Yeah, exactly, Warren. He was the fastest 800 to the 400 in the race and to the 200, and then probably peaked a little bit late, but still home pretty good. That was the awkward time in the race if you're on Skyman, because you could see Miracu racing awkwardly. He drew three, and all he wanted to do was get out off the rail and didn't handle the tempo at all. He was up 500 metres and a slow pace, so he didn't handle that at all. So it was good riding by Damien Thornton to make the best of an awkward situation. I thought he did very well. The one that I think missed a bit of a trick here is De Niro. They just conceded at the start from a wide draw, took no notice of the speed, and he's finished nowhere, but he can race a lot closer to a speed at that tempo and run well. And yesterday he had no chance from the back.
What's your assessment here, Brendan?
He's impressive, isn't he, Skymare? We thought that he was just aided by how the race shaped up there at Caulfield last time. He was able to work into it on the back of Tabby Dance that maybe went a little bit too early. But yesterday, speed wasn't there for him. And he's finished it off like there was a really solid tempo there for him. De Niro was on his back. We know what sort of finish he's got, and he left him standing. So promising there for Skyman Cadre. Dunois had a good run up on the speed. Crimson Ace got home nicely. Dogmatic had a soft run. Kentucky Tornado, as Dean outlined, the one that you want to be taking out of the race. Really liked her work through the line. De Niro, maybe they were just a little bit too close last time. Maybe McCouglin alluding to that pre-race on racing.com that they got it wrong last time out and sat too close and they were going further back yesterday, but the speed just wasn't there for him to slingshot off. Dogmatic ticking along okay, but no knock on Lord Durand. He's a 12-year-old. We know he's consistent and he chips away nicely, and he had a nice run in front, but when he's running fourth, it's hard to get excited about those horses that have finished behind him, except for maybe the likes of Kentucky Tornado, who is really charging through the line.
We're learning a bit about Cadre Dunois, Dino. Two runs now for the Mar and Eustace stable, and went up in distance and up in grade yesterday from 1,500 to 2,000 metres in benchmark 70 to 78 level. What are we learning about him? What do you think are the right sort of races for Cadre Dunois?
Well, yeah, he's probably going to end up with a profile probably similar to his stablemate El Galil. I think in time that's the sort of horse he reminds me of. And I thought his performance yesterday was good. And long as he relaxed, that sort of tempo, 1,500 to 2,000 second up, was going to be ideal. And that's how it proved yesterday. So he had, a really good introduction to 2,000 metres here, and we'll build from that.
Skyman winning again. Smart ride from Damien Thornton. I think the team are in sync with Kentucky Tornado, perhaps the horse to take out of the race, particularly when she gets out over a bit more ground as she gets deeper into the campaign. One of the more electrifying wins of the day was Octane down the straight for Philip Stokes and Jamie Carr.
Snitzcraft at the 350 led, but the cavalry's coming. Chicago Cub, Spirit of Aquata behind them. Sword of Mercy getting out, and Octane is coming with it. At the 200 metres, Snitzcraft from Chicago Cub. Here's Octane and Sword of Mercy from Rock Prophet. Octane moves up, takes the lead from Snitzcraft, Rock Prophet, Sword of Mercy. Octane's going to be too good. Octane won from Rock Prophet, Sword of Mercy, and Snitzcraft. A gap Chicago.
Well, we'd already seen Jamie Carr blend into the race beautifully aboard Tavi Dance, Brendan, and it's probably what you come to expect from Jamie getting into a lovely rhythm with the horse. How were you seeing this race?
She matched up beautifully with him, didn't she? He's a bit of a handful. He can do plenty wrong. I think maybe just he's a horse that's going to get better when he races against a higher class of horse where they maybe might roll along a bit. Doesn't give him as much time to think about what he's doing, and the speed that's there for him, he can just cart along in behind. He got a little bit too far back a couple of times in Adelaide, but still had that big finish and wanted to fight the riders on different occasions, but he was able to get cover there quickly yesterday. I think was a big help, and he's got a monster finish on him, and he showed that yesterday. You'd think he's going to only improve. Rock Prophet was very good from the back, running right up to that run at Flemington last time. Sword of Mercy stuck it out well. Snitzcraft was okay on the speed. Chicago Cub disappointing, but he's a promising horse, Octane. I think they just might have to iron out a couple of little things, his head carriage and just getting him to relax a little bit more in his races. But if he can hold on to that powerful finish, he's going to be winning better races than this. Rock Prophet keeps going along nicely. One out the back, Mount Kilcoy, he couldn't keep up with him. He's much better over further. I thought he was a nice enough return there yesterday. Completely outsped at 1,000 metres, but he was picking off a few late. Causeway Girl just doesn't go when it's wet. But first two across the line, really, really promising horses.
Well, Dino, a good association with the family, being a half-brother to the quarterback and not involved in the ownership of Octane, but you would have been pleased to see him appreciate the Flemington Straight yesterday like his half-brother.
Yeah, it seems if you buy an expensive horse out of Serena, the first thing you've got to do is geld them, unfortunately, because they struggle as colts, and Octane is a really good talent, and now as a gelding, he's really putting it together, and the full brother to him goes around today and born a warrior, so we'll see him in action first run as a gelding. But Octane was very good. I thought Rock Prophet ran really well and was coming back in trip. So he'll be better now, you know, getting back up to 1,200 whilst the tracks are soft, but he's competitive on the dry as well. And Mount Kilcoy, he's a member of the correct weight family, Warren, and it was good to see him back in action yesterday. There were high hopes held for him a couple of years ago on this show.
Our good mate Trent Mason Halder had him pegged as a Caulfield Cup horse. Maybe that's aiming a little bit high for Mount Kilcoy, but I think he's back from either a tendon or a suspensory injury, and good to see him back. And there's light at the end of the tunnel, Dino, for us and Trent.
Yeah, he had a good day out, first day out at the races. He ran quite well. Snitchcraft went along in front at a reasonable speed. He's just sort of marking time at the moment. Chicago Cub, maybe a little bit fitter for that run. And Spirit of Equator, he's got to switch off and get covered up straight away. And as soon as he saw daylight in the first 100 metres, it didn't matter what odds he was never going to finish off. It's pretty easy to read him very early in a race. And once he was up and keen, he was going to be out the back at the end.
When you've got the horse that's got the talent, it can make it look easy. But just take us through your thoughts, Dino, on just focusing on the ride of Jamie Carr here.
Well, what Jamie does, I think, better than a lot of them. She very much rides the horse to suit the horse, and she got that horse first up. She got the horse set up well in the race to get into as good a stride pattern as he could get, because it was interesting in the post-race interview that she said that he's lovely to ride because he looks very awkward to ride, and he's looked even more awkward around a bend. So I think the straight racing will ultimately suit him. That's what, you know, if you're going to produce the best sections of the day, which that horse did, the first half of the race is just got to be set up nice and balanced, get through your rhythm, get through your gears, and then let him go. And that's what he did. He was second best 800, 600 of the meeting, but the best 400, 200 of the meeting. So she had him well set up to run home.
Eyeing off some better races down the straight, been very well placed to race through the grades in Adelaide and now over here. That level of performance, could that help Octane progress to that higher level?
He's an interesting project, because the next straight races would be the Bobby Lewis or the Gill guy, so it'd be a very big leap. But maybe that 1,000-metre race on Oaks Day, the Century Stakes or whatever it's named by sponsorship, that's the sort of race maybe that he could progress from and then see where he ends up. But he's a promising sprinter and starting to, you know, really fulfil what was always thought of him.
Octane running some good late sectionals. Benchmark 90 level yesterday, and he carried 56 kilos. So obviously tougher competition going up to group level down the straight, deeper into the spring. But he does look to have upside, and he goes well on the fresh side. Philip Stokes telling us earlier on that he will keep him fresh for some targets down the straight, and love the way that he seemed to appreciate racing down the straight yesterday. John Matheson taking Jittery Jack to Flemington yesterday. Liam Reedon was shooting for a double.
Jittery Jack off the rails, led Sunday Prey Pembroke Castle, then Antagonizer Satori, That Girl to the middle of the track from Shush, then Guasola, Savvy Lad's a fair way off them from Lord Markle and Alvaric. Still Jittery Jack, 250 metres to go, three lengths Sunday Prey, Pembroke Castle, Satori, Antagonizer, That Girl, Lord Markle and Savvy Lad. Still Jittery Jack at the 150, three lengths Antagonizer, Satori, Savvy Lad. This has run them off their feet. Jittery Jack for Liam Reardon in a surprise. Two lengths Antagonizer Satori for fourths a photo.
Liam Reardon incurring a suspension for whip use aboard Jittery Jack, Dino, but he showed some initiative mid-race. How did this race unfold?
He, as you said, he showed initiative mid-race. That's what won him the race. They were going a pretty pedestrian tempo the first 300 or 400 metres, and then he just went around them, and he didn't do a lot of work, really. He was seven lengths below standard the first 600. But then the next 400, he basically only increased the speed by a length to the average. So he had plenty of tickets left with 400 to go and in a good position. Whereas, Antagonizer was in a beautiful position. Jamie Carr gave him the perfect ride. He just wasn't good enough to pick up the winner. Satori was in a similar sort of spot. But then you got the group that were too far back off a slow speed, the likes of Vegas Knight. And there's obviously something wrong with my steward's report, Warren, because it just says that Savvy Lad was slow to begin, and that was it. He was in a lot of trouble in the run, looking for runs, and then went back to the inside. It was a total forgive run by Savvy Lad.
I think they ran out of ink there. And thanks to Lee Jordan for putting on a benchmark 70 at the end of the day to kill the quaddie for a number of us. I know he loves that challenge, Dino, of trying to find a very difficult race to put there as the last leg of the quaddie. And I think mission accomplished for Lee Jordan yesterday. Brendan, how did you see the last?
It was a race that gave the impression that Jittery Jack was going at a fast tempo, but he wasn't going all that fast. He just slid around off a slow tempo and just continued to roll, and he just kept his momentum going as soon as he cornered for home. And Liam had plenty up his sleeve to give Antagoniser, as Dean said, just had the perfect running behind them, but didn't have maybe the revs built up as much as Jittery Jack did when he pulled the trigger. I thought Satori was okay. Alvaric closed off okay. Vegas Knight was a long, long way back. Savvy Lad had traffic issues. Lord Markle had a couple of traffic issues as well. I thought he was okay. And then on their heels, you had Shush, who was four deep. They didn't go fast, but it's no advantage at all when you're out four deep, but just a proactive ride from Leon Reardon, making the best of a wide situation and taking advantage of a race that no one really wanted to put their hand up and own, and he was happy to do it, and he really owned it from the time they cornered for home. He put the foot down and no one was going to get anywhere near him. Second horse was okay, as I mentioned, and then that wall behind the horse has just got too far back. It's a long way from Kerrang to Flemington, but I'm sure it would have been a pretty nice drive home for the Matheson camp.
As we get into the spring, the horses in this benchmark 70 grade, Brendan, are probably going to have to revert back to midweek level to get the metropolitan standard of victory. Is there one or two out of this race that you think are progressing in the right direction?
Antagoniser, always had a nice opinion of him, and I'm a fan of Lord Markle as well. Whether they drop back to midweeks, the Friday night kickoff, in the not too distant future, so there's plenty of opportunities for these horses around that 70 level to drop back. Not so much on Saturday, but there's plenty of metropolitan opportunities around for them. And then even still, the races on Sundays, there's some nice races around this grade on Sundays where they'll be able to get in with nice weights and run for pretty reasonable money.
Dino, for the right race, just reinforcing a couple out of this race that you think are heading in the right direction.
Oh, I think Savvy Lad at 1,600 metres with a bit better run, he'd improve. I'd be forgiving of Shush, probably back to midweek grade, but she was just sort of no man's land and a bit of a nothing ride. And, Antagoniser sticking over okay. And, yeah, there was a lot of sort of social media talk how Jittery Jack won the last. It was a benchmark 70. It wasn't a high grade of race as such, and he's a competitive horse. So given the right ride, there was no shock that he could actually be competitive. And given an exceptional ride, he was able to win.
Good day's racing at Flemington yesterday, highlighted by the Aurie Star, Damien Oliver, James Cummings, combining with Home of the Brave.
Correct Weight, brought to you by TAB. Long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Gambler's Help, 1-800-858-858.
Towards the home corner. Eduardo's got them chasing. 4:25 left to run. He's two clear from Glenall in second. Imogene saved all the ground up to third, trying to bullock into the clear. Flit runs on and then followed Mr. Seawolf. Melanie Bell with plenty to do. Eduardo in front at the 200. Imogene back to the rail. Flit, Glenall, and then followed Melanie Bell. 100 to go. Eduardo just in front. The run closed on Imogene. Flit coming again. Eduardo's digging in. Rowilla throws everything at him and he gets home. Eduardo beat Flit. Imogene may have got up for third.
Well, as a comprehensive stewards report, Nash Rowilla copying a suspension for careless riding. Dino tightening up Imogene late in the race, but Eduardo's settled in very nicely to Joe Pride's training regime.
Yeah, he certainly has. And as you and Ray Thomas spoke about earlier, Warren, not the first time that this has happened with Joe Pride getting tried horses that had probably looked as though they'd reached their level or plateaued a bit in their career, and just turning them straight around. And this is another classic example of it, and did it really well yesterday. Eduardo, he's been running the occasional good fresh race and then tapering right off, but he's now put two really good runs together, and in keeping with what we saw of him probably 18 months ago.
What do we take out of the performances of, in particular, Flit and Melody Bell, Dino?
Flit ran well. I wouldn't be surprised if she's kept to that sort of sprinting, short course regime in the short term, because she, as we saw in the all-star mile. She got a bit keen, but she's a very competent sprinter and she's very competent on wet ground. And Melody Bell, she was out the back and wide. And I think the market showed you in the end that it was the early markets opened her up short because of her reputation. Her price in the end probably reflected what she would do at 1,200 metres. I don't know if anyone thought she'd run last, but I thought on the line she was okay, and I'm not sort of condemning her on that run. When she gets to 1,400 and more, her sort of race in 2 weeks' time in the Winx Stakes, then we'll see where she's at.
What are your thoughts here, Brendan?
Eduardo, good up on the speed, rolling along. Showed us the ability we knew he possessed. He's really stringing it together now under the care of Joe Pride. Thought Flit was good imaging. Probably should have finished a lot closer than what he did with Eduardo smacking him into the fence with about 150 to go. Melody Bell, I thought she did enough. She was under pressure on the turn. 1,200 isn't her go. As Dean outlined, she's going to be better next time over 1,400 metres. But all in all, nice to see Eduardo back, knowing what we've seen of him down here, knowing what he can do when he's on song. It's good to see him put a couple together.
Joe Pride going to keep him fresh. Dino, head to the shorts. And the ultimate aim is, obviously, with these sprinting horses, to secure a spot in the Everest. What would he have to do to get to a level where you think he could be competitive there?
Oh, he'd just have to win again. If he's not in the in the actual big game, he'd be in the consolation of the Everest. And then, he could even come to Melbourne at the back end and have a go at a couple of the good sprint races. So there's plenty of options for him if he doesn't actually get the berth in the Everest. But I think a win in a race like the shorts would give him at least an opportunity. And obviously everyone's keeping their powder a lot drier this year because there's the dominant sprinter in Nature Strip. But outside of that, anything could happen.
Anders might even be a horse that could go to a very high level following his victory in the Rosebud yesterday. Lightly raced galloper Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace. Jason Collett had the sit yesterday.
Home quarter, 4:25 left the run. Anders by neck to the face. Behind those, Q Marcy about to get into the clear first. Then followed Shake Ole Kirk back to the rail. Six Gun and Prime Star. It's Anders doing it well though at the 2:50. He got away here. He leads by two to the face. Ole Kirk, Q Marcy, and then Shake, 1:25 left the run. And in front, Anders well clear. Ole Kirk runs to second. Then the face, but the not a single doubt colt turns this into a rout.
Just under five lengths on the rain-affected ground there yesterday. Brendan, how did you assess his performance?
Very good. Jumped up on speed, controlled the race, had plenty left to give at the top of the lane and kicked strongly. It was a good effort. I thought Ole Kirk was okay back in the field, stayed in on the turn. He was solid enough to the line. Kumasi was okay. I didn't mind the run of Six Gun, who blew the start. I thought he was probably doing enough late on in the piece, but Anders just controlled it from the front and fresh over this trip. He was too good for them.
Dino, he's now won 3 from 7. Did he show significant improvement to your eye on anything he's done previously yesterday?
Well, the talent's always been there, Warren, and the market's always reflected that. He did start $2.90 against See You Soon and Dame Giselle in an early season two-year-old race. He was well in the betting, $2.35 against Wisdom of Water at the Gold Coast. He's won these 3 races in a row, but before that he ran second to a horse that I think's the one that I'm waiting for the most, and that's Pelzer. So for him to win yesterday only excites me more about when Pelzer resumes. So it was a good win. I think he's not a single doubt with that beautiful wet trackers action, and his 3 wins have all come on soft ground. I'm not saying he won't go on the dry, but to me it just excites me about where Pelzer might end up in the spring.
1,100 metres yesterday, and he has been restricted to races of that distance and a bit shorter. Has he got the scope to run that little bit further, Anders, or do you think at this stage they'll keep him with the shorter trips?
I think any three-year-old at this time of year in Sydney's hoping they can get to a race like the Golden Rose. I don't know if he can extend it out that far, but I think if the ground remains soft, that would be certainly an advantage for him, that he's very competent on soft ground, whether he gets 1,400, only time will tell. But that was a good return. We've seen Ole Kirk. He's a nice horse, and I think he ran well enough first up. But he was nearly 5 lengths behind Anders.
Anything else from the Sydney program catch your eye, Dean?
Look, I was waiting for Desert Path to win races in Melbourne. He was building up to form, and then he's been swung to Sydney, and Chris Wallace certainly got him going quite well. He won the staying race, but no, outside of that, those two feature races were the dominant aspects of that program.
Anything else catch your eye, Brendan, at that meeting or in around Australia in particular?
Desert Path had been teasing me, and I dropped off after he didn't put Tigre Royale away. But in saying that, you have a look what Tigre Royale did last week, and probably should have stuck with him. The story of the punt continues, but apart from that, not really. Switching coach, maybe Lock and Varat getting beaten last night at Ballarat. He was $1.08. There were some big bets on him. That was one that caught the eye of plenty. Looking towards the match race next week that won't be taking place now with Ride High. He was beaten but didn't pull up the best last night, Lock and Varat. 20,000 at $1.08, I think. So taking punting to an extreme sport, that's for sure.
Dino, you've been keeping an eye on the international activities for us, and obviously we're now through Royal Ascot and Glorious Goodwood, but some Irish racing during the week worth noting.
Yeah, I think the Ballyroan, Warren, is a race every year worth noting. La Trobe won it last year. Previous winners that we've seen come to Australia, Profound Beauty, Vinnie Roe, a two-time winner, and a horse that has been purchased in Australian interest, or part purchased, is Nickajack Cave. And he won the Ballyroan on Thursday night, and he did a good job beating Fresnel. There was another interest in the race, Pondus, who's a Lloyd Williams-owned runner in the field of five. He sat three wide, so it was a total forgive run for Pondus. But Nickajack Cave's going well. I believe he'll be, when he comes to Australia, he'll be trained by Peter Moody. So he's a very nice horse, building a good profile. I think he's won 5 of 12 now, so around that, and a good staying prospect.
Time for the boys' wrap on racing around Australia yesterday in terms of runs of the day and horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
And Dino, we'll start with you about how you wrap up yesterday.
Tabby Dance, the run of the day for me, Warren. I thought it was a pretty complete display, really, in a restricted race, but he can win better than that. And Kentucky Tornado's the horse I want to follow. I think she'll win very soon, and she might have a really good spring campaign.
Great work, Dino, right throughout the week, and again yesterday with your best bet. Is there anything in particular that you've got your eye on at Bendigo this afternoon?
Well, there's going to be a lot of shorties, Warren, but I mentioned Born a Warrior. I'll be more watching him in race three. First run as a gelding, looks to have trialled up well. I thought the last race was a terrific race, but I'm a bit of a rat for this horse, Just Folk, for Josh Julius. On his home track, I think by the last race, they'll be winning out wide on the track. I think Just Folk's got a terrific hope coming off that good race at Sandown that Antagoniser and Lord Markle came through. So race 9, number 5, Just Folk.
Great work again, Dino. Look forward to your contribution on RSN 927 right throughout the week.
Terrific. Thank you, Warren.
And Brendan Delaney, before we get your run of the day and horse to follow, what are we looking forward to on Sunday Central in the hours ahead?
We'll have a wrap of all the racing around the country. Warren, Bendigo, Casterton, Wagga, Dubbo, Sunshine Coast. We lose Port Augusta, called off last night. We'll take in some footy with Ralphie, Jared Daffy, along with everything from the tab, and a look at the trots at Cranbourne this afternoon and the Greyhounds at Sandown tonight. So we've got a busy couple of hours with the racing commitments kicking off at around 11 o'clock.
Busy couple of hours ahead of you, as you said. What about a run of the day and a horse to follow from yesterday?
Run of the day, I might go with Octane. I thought he was pretty good making the switch across from Adelaide to Melbourne. Horse to follow with Dino, though, firmly in the corner of Kentucky Tornado out to 2400 next time.
I'm with you, Brendan, in terms of run of the day and, in terms of horse to follow in Kentucky Tornado. I'm going to make Anders my run of the day. Thought he was terrific winning the Rosebud. Thank you, Brendan, for all your contribution during the morning, but don't go anywhere if you're listening. Brendan Delaney about to take the reins and guide us through Sunday Central with all the winners and plenty more around Australia.